On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So today we're thinking about that word, hospitality. And I wonder what comes to mind when you think of hospitality. Maybe just close your eyes for 5 seconds to think, what springs to mind when you think of hospitality? This is the first person that I thought of. Mrs. Bouquet, or Mrs. Bucket, if you get it wrong. I don't know how many of you remember Keeping Up Appearances. Surely that Mrs. Bouquet is the epitome of hospitality, isn't she? After all, her emphasis on fine dining experiences, on providing stunning soirees, and using the very best Royal Doulton china on special occasions. That might be what springs to mind for you for hospitality. But I think that's kind of a showing off hospitality. We know that Mrs. Bouquet does that because she wants to show off, doesn't she? And often it goes wrong, and therein lies the comedy. But Mrs. Bouquet's hospitality is very different to true Christian hospitality. That's what we're thinking about today, true Christian hospitality. But what does the Bible mean by that word, hospitality? Well, let's go back in time for a little bit to see how Christians have lived out this true Christian hospitality. In the second century, between about the years 165 and 180, in the Roman Empire, there was something that's been called the Antonine Plague. It was a terrible plague, one of the great plagues of the past 2,000 years. It's possible it might have been smallpox or something like that, but it killed many, many people. And the Romans in charge, they responded generally with fear. They were terrified of what was happening in their empire. So they began to blame others. In particular, they loved blaming the Christians. The Christians who had been around for this point for about 150 years, spreading throughout the Roman Empire, people putting their faith and trust in this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, they believed. And the Romans instead would blame them. The Romans would also abandon the sick. So if members of their family or friends or neighbors got sick, they would leave the cities behind and go and flee to other places where this plague wasn't afflicting people, even leaving family members behind. That's how the Romans, that's how the pagans reacted. But the Christian response was very different. It was very unusual. The Romans couldn't get their head around it. The Christians' response was grounded in the hope that this life is not all that there is, that there is something beyond this life, that we go to be with Christ for eternity. So even the threat of death and plague and illness didn't stop them. So early Christians in the Roman Empire would practice a really radical hospitality. They would care for the sick, not just their own, but for other people as well. They would care for the sick. Even the Romans who had been persecuting them, who had been making life miserable for them, they would care for, sometimes getting ill and dying in the process. But the result over one or two plagues by the sort of the 4th century is that because of their wonderful radical hospitality, that kind of love, it transformed the whole Roman Empire, and it helped reshape it from a pagan empire where you had many, many different gods to being predominantly Christian. One God expressed in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we already see that this Christian hospitality, even from the very early years of Christianity, isn't about comfort. It's not about fine soirees and royal Dalton china. It's actually very sacrificial. It's about a costly kind of love. That's what true Christian hospitality is. So let's dive into one of our readings and see what it tells us. This is from Hebrews chapter 13. It was a letter written probably to Jewish Christians in Rome in about AD 60 to 80, something like that. And the writer starts in this chapter by saying this: "Let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." Now, we have that in English. The New Testament was originally written in a kind of a common Greek, and I'm afraid our translation doesn't do a very good job with those first few words, mutual affection. It sounds a bit weak. The actual original Greek word is Philadelphia. Philadelphia, and I'm talking about the low-fat cream cheese. Think about the city. Does anyone know what Philadelphia means? It's made up of two words. Sometimes the city of Philadelphia is often called this. It's called the city of brotherly love. It's a contraction of two words, philo, which means love, and adelphos, which means brothers or brothers and sisters. It literally means brotherly love. It's not just mutual affection, sounds a bit British, doesn't it? Brotherly love, the kind of love you think about a band of brothers going over the trenches together. I've got your back, I'm there for you. Real brotherly love, that's what the writer's telling us to do. But there's also a connection, because we've got Philadelphia, brotherly love, and then we've got that word, hospitality. And again, you miss the connection here in English, but in Greek the connection is really obvious, because the word for hospitality is philoxenias. Philoxenias. And again, it's two words. Philo means love, and xena is where we get xenophobia from. It means the stranger. So you've literally got the love of the stranger. That's what hospitality means, according to the Bible. Love of stranger. So you've got these two things going on together. Do you see? Let brotherly love continue and show stranger love too. These things are incredibly connected. Let brotherly love continue and show stranger love too. So that means when we're talking about hospitality, true Christian hospitality, we're not just talking about entertaining our best friends. That's not really getting at the core of what true Christian hospitality is about. This is about loving the stranger. Loving the stranger. And true Christian hospitality is ultimately about showing God's love to people who don't yet know it. People who don't yet know that God loves them. And we do that because God is a God of hospitality. He loves to share his love with people who don't yet know it. Perhaps you're here today and perhaps you're wondering whether or not, you're watching online and you're wondering whether or not God loves you. Does God love you? Maybe, maybe not. Well, if you are asking that question, you are exactly the person that God wants you to know that he loves you. You are exactly the person that God wants to know that he loves you. And we know that God loves you because the Bible shows God time and time again pursuing people who are broken, people who are feeling lost, and bringing them into his forever family. Isn't it interesting that those who knew that they were broken or lost, they flocked to Jesus, didn't they? But it was often the people who think they had life sorted and had no problems and were quite capable on their own, they took real objection with Jesus. But if you are here and you're feeling broken or lost in some way, God is for you, the Bible says. So, as Christians, we are commanded not only to love our brothers and sisters, so we look around today and we see our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we are also commanded to love strangers too. Maybe another word for strangers would be soon-to-be friends. or they're friends that we haven't yet met. But here's a question. Are there particular people? Because there's so many people who we could show hospitality to. You might meet 100 people this week. How are you going to know who you should prioritize for hospitality? Well, Hebrews 13:3 gives us a bit of a clue. It says this. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. So here's a starter for two. We are told to remember people who are in dreadful circumstances. Imprisonment and torture looks different. It might be physical prison imprisonment or torture. It might be mental imprisonment or spiritual imprisonment in some way. But we are not just to feel a bit sorry about them. Hear about someone who's going through, say, oh, that's a bit sad, isn't it? Feel a bit sorry about them. We are told to do something more. We're told to show compassion. Now, compassion in the Bible is a verb. It's a doing word. It's not just describing how we're feeling. Compassion is a doing word. Interestingly, in the Gospels, it says, Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. That didn't mean just he felt a bit sorry about them. It meant he was going to do something for them. Famously, in that occasion, he fed them with two loaves of bread and five fish. He fed 5,000 people. Compassion is a doing word, and we're commanded to be compassionate to people who are imprisoned, people who are suffering too. We remember these people by doing things like praying for them. That's why prayer is such an important part of showing hospitality. Pray for people who are suffering in this way. And pray about who to invite round for tea this week. But we also do it by showing practical care and love for them. And the greatest way we can show love to someone is to tell them that God loves them and God wants them to know that love. But I hope I'm beginning to paint a picture that true Christian hospitality is hard. It is hard, isn't it? It's not easy. But where can we begin? You might be reading, thinking about, how am I going to show hospitality to people who are in prison? We think about people in Lewis Prison, just a few miles up the road. How can I show hospitality to people like them? Well, the good news is that Christians are already doing that. And there are actually things that we can join in with them to show hospitality. Prison Fellowship UK is already doing this, and we're just going to watch a short video now that just explains a little bit about what Christians are doing in prisons, like the one up the road at Lewis, and like the one down at Ford near Chichester as well. So, Harrison, if we can have that video as we see what Prison Fellowship are up to. There's no video. Okay, we'll see if we can get that a little bit later on. Can you try synchronizing Proclaim and then see if we can get it in just a sec? Well, Prison Fellowship UK, they go into all sorts of different prisons. They're involved with having prayer meetings there, praying for the people who are in prison. They're involved in things like restorative justice, so helping prisoners to be thinking about the people that they have affected and helping them to be changing their life in a way that restores society and things that they've done. They also get involved with encouraging people to write letters to prisoners and to be supporting prisoners' families, even doing presents for the children of prisoners as well at times like Christmas when they might feel acutely aware of that separation. I've also printed off a prayer diary. If you go on their website and if you type in Prison Fellowship, they will give you things to be praying for each and every day. So we think about things like this Monday. We pray for children who are returning to or starting school, whose parents are in prison. Starting school is a big time for children, but think how much more challenging it is if one of your parents are in prison as well. And we pray that they would receive the support and help that they need at that time of transition. So you want to have a look at that or do search it online as well. as Christians are involved, literally living out those verses that we've seen in Hebrews chapter 13. But why would we want to do this? Why would we want to be involved supporting people who are in prison, things like that? Well, because we are commanded to. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that we are not our own. Christians, we do not belong to ourselves. We have been bought with Christ's precious blood. So we are no longer our own. We now live for Christ. And we do the things that he wants us to do. But also we do this because actually all Christians, once upon a time, were prisoners. We were in prison to sin and to shame and to death. But now through Jesus, we have been freed from prison. The story of Christianity is that we are freed prisoners. Through Jesus, we have been freed. But why is this hospitality so important? Well, let's pop back to verse 2. It tells us why. We're told, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." This is so fascinating, I find this. This is pointing to at least one occasion in the Old Testament, in Genesis 18, with Abraham, who is met by these three strangers. And one of them turns out to be God, and then two of the others are sort of these angelic visitors as well. And Abraham shows hospitality to them, he invites them into his camp, he feeds them, he gives them a drink, and he, without realizing it, was showing hospitality to God and to angels. So it's hinting at that. But I think it's also hinting at something else, that it's possible in our life that we are showing hospitality to heavenly beings, that we are showing hospitality to angels without realizing it. I don't know about you, but that makes me think differently about how I treat people, about whether I cut that person up at the roundabout on the way to work, or how I behave, or things that I might say or do. Is there a chance that that person is an angel? If that's true, I know who they're going to be reporting to. So I want to make sure that I am showing hospitality in a way that even if it was an angel who knocked at my door, they wouldn't be reporting to God that I didn't show hospitality and that I was mean and stingy. But it's also showing this, that when we serve the least, even the most seemingly unimportant person in the world, we are serving Jesus. That's what he says in Matthew 25. He says that parable about the king who says this. He says, "The king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.'" So there is something holy going on, isn't there, when we show true Christian hospitality? Because in a way, it is how we are treating Christ himself. That whoever turns up at the door, whoever we meet, sat next to on the bus, it's almost as if we are treating Christ that way. Are we going to ignore them, or are we going to engage with them? Hospitality, the Bible says, is holy. It's how we treat Christ himself. And again, the most loving thing that we can do for anyone is to share God's love for them. Help people to grow closer to him. Well, how can we show hospitality in our lives? Well, in our gospel reading, we read about Jesus at a meal. So many of Jesus' most profound conversations happened around a meal. That's why meals for Christians are so important. That's why when we celebrate Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, it's a signpost to that great heavenly meal as well. Jesus is there at a meal, and what is happening, a little bit like last week for those who were here, people were fighting over the best seats. Nothing changes, does it? People are fighting over the best seats. Luke 14, verse 13 and 14. Jesus speaks to them, particularly the person who was giving this luncheon. He says, "When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." What is Jesus getting at here? He's not saying that the only people you can invite are people who are poor, disabled, and blind. But he is saying that there is something particularly profound about inviting people who are vulnerable, about those who might not be able to repay, not necessarily in monetary terms, but it's not thinking about who can I invite who's got influence, who's got sway. Think about who you might invite from work, if you're working. You want to invite people who have got influence, who've got sway, who can help you climb the ladder, perhaps. Jesus said, don't have that attitude to hospitality. Should be the other way around, if anything. But he's also saying that it may cost us. Hospitality can be expensive in all sorts of ways, not just monetarily, but it may even offend others. If you're inviting, let's say, someone who has just come out of prison and you're inviting them round, are you worried about what the neighbours might say? If that person was last seen on the front page of the Argus 5 years ago, it could be costly, couldn't it? It may even offend others by showing true Christian hospitality. I've been really mindful that what's going on in our country this week as well, and what the Bible has to say to us about this, where we've got this very heightened context in our country, haven't we, about hospitality, really, at the end of the day, where we've got people who are seeking asylum from all sorts of different backgrounds. Some of them may be fleeing from wars, others perhaps not. But how do we cope with that as a country? And we are seeing actually more and more division, more and more anger and fear and hostility as to how we do that. And how do we walk that difficult line as a Christian, wanting to show hospitality? Well, I think we need to think about this biblical balance, that we are commanded to show compassion, aren't we? We are commanded to love the stranger. That's not something that we can get out of. And I think a lot of the time people are thinking about people as problems rather than people to be loved. We are commanded to love the stranger. But at the same time that we are told to uphold justice. So if people on both sides of the channel are making money by getting people across, that they are lining their pockets with money while people are drowning, that actually that's something that Christians shouldn't be okay with. There's a terrible injustice there, people getting money off other people's vulnerability and off people dying. So there is a balance to be had, isn't there? And often with Christianity, you're walking that line. You're not falling into either political camp, but you're saying we need to love these people, but we also need to uphold justice at the same time. And it requires a great degree of wisdom for us to do that. And that's why I'm not going into politics, for sure. But it's something that we should be praying about. And each one of us to prioritize loving the stranger and wanting to highlight justice as well. But as we wrap up, excuse me, what are some of the practical ways then we can show hospitality? Young people, if you've been drawing something, perhaps you've got some great ideas, do share those with some of the adults or some of the things that you've been thinking about in terms of ways we can show hospitality. But there's all sorts of ways, isn't there? We can use our time. We can use our energy. We can use our homes. You might think, oh, I don't have a great home, or maybe it's a bit small. Do you know what? That doesn't make a difference. Hospitality is about what's in your heart, not how the walls are decorated. We can use our possessions. We can use our skills. We can use our words. But we also need to avoid favoritism, don't we? Particularly as Christians. We need to try and see people through Jesus' eyes. See them the way that Jesus sees them. And that's why here, we're at St. Peter's, we say we are a family church with Jesus at its heart. We are one family here at St. Peter's. But we can be hospitable all sorts of ways. Yes, at home. We can be hospitable at work. We can be hospitable at school, inviting people or making friends or spending time in the playground with people who perhaps are feeling alone and vulnerable. You can show hospitality in the playground too. You can show hospitality at church by inviting people to come and sit with you, or maybe sitting, I know this is really radical for churches, sitting in a different seat. I know, the walls might collapse when that happens, but you know, I think we could do that. You see someone sitting on their own, do you know what? I'm going to go and sit with them today. They could do with that as well. Go and sit with a stranger. And don't give up. Show hospitality to people different than you, people who might be suffering, people who might be single or lonely. And if you want to find out many, many good news stories, do speak with Julie, sorry to name you there, about what's happening with Time to Talk Befriending as well, about people who have been lonely, who have their lives transformed through true Christian hospitality. People going to meet with others and changing their lives. Do speak with Julie about that. I'm sure she's got many, many stories. But don't just wait for people to come to you. Go out to bring the stranger in as well. Don't just wait for people to come to you. That can be a challenge for those of us who are perhaps more introvert or shy, perhaps. But don't just wait for people to come to you. Go out to bring the stranger in. You see, at the heart of true Christian hospitality is the cross. Think about this. Jesus himself was denied hospitality on earth, wasn't he, really? He was rejected by those he came to save. He was even cast outside of the city. Hospitality in the ancient world is being invited into the city. Where did Jesus die? He was taken outside the city onto a hill where he was crucified. It is the greatest act of inhospitality ever. God being shown inhospitality by his children. Yet through his death, we are shown amazing hospitality, aren't we? We are welcomed into God's forever family. So our hospitality flows from God's hospitality to us. Do you see that? It's like a stream. It flows into us and through us out into others as well. So just lastly, individually, how can we do that this week? Invite neighbours round for a coffee. Ask friends to church and maybe say, come back for a meal afterwards. Perhaps you might like to host one of the small groups that we have. You might want to say, yeah, I can have a Bible study group in my home. Why not? You know, just as a one-off or something. Or the women's social group, we can have them over to my house. Or the men's group, who say, yeah, why don't you just come over to my house? Or you can serve in church. That's what our sides people are doing. They're not just handing you pieces of paper. They've got a ministry of hospitality. For many of us, they are the first people that we see week by week. Perhaps you'd like to join with them as well. Or serving on the tea and coffee rota. That is showing hospitality. All sorts of ways. We can do this together as a church, make it a real place of welcome. And in just a moment before communion, we're going to do something called sharing the sign of the peace. And the more I've thought about that this week, actually it's such a powerful reminder of what we experience, true Christian hospitality. I want to encourage you then, when you share the sign of the peace, by all means, share that sign with the people around you, but maybe go to someone, I'll give you a bit extra this morning, go to someone perhaps you don't know, or you haven't spoken to in a while. Make an effort to share the peace with them as a sign, a powerful sign of welcoming, of loving the stranger. Loving the stranger. Turning strangers into family. And one last challenge then this week as we go from here. Ask God this week, who is the stranger I can love? Who is the stranger I can love? Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus so that we might know true Christian hospitality. Through him you have welcomed us into your forever family. Please would you work in us and through us this week to practice this real hospitality in our lives with the strangers that we meet, that we might love them as you love us. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.